politics has never been stranger or more online, which is why the politics team at Wired is making a new show, Wired Politics Lab. It's all about how to navigate the endless stream of news and information and what to look out for. Each week on the show, we'll dig into far-right platforms, AI chatbots, influencer campaigns, and so much more. Wired Politics Lab launches Thursday, April 11th. Follow the show wherever you get your podcasts.
So, Bo and Adam,
yeah.
I was reading about something a little bit scary the other day.
Oh?
The chargers for electric vehicles have a lot of the same security vulnerabilities as Internet of Thing devices.
The chargers?
The chargers, the thing that you plug in.
For a Tesla or whatever.
Yeah. Tesla, Leaf, doesn't matter. Yeah. But
they all have the same thing?
They have a lot of the same vulnerabilities because Internet of Things devices, or IoT, have notoriously bad security. So they can be hacked really, really, really easily. My favorite example there was there was a chastity belt that got hit with a ransomware because it was internet connected. Now imagine that same type of security setting being connected to your car.
Wait, did you say chastity belt?
I said chastity belt.
Yeah, I'm trying to grasp the chastity belt concept.
But wait, so what does that mean? Chastity belt? You mean like something that's supposed to keep like Sir Gawain's wife from having an affair while he's off on the Crusades?
Pretty much. And I don't really care to get too much into the psychology of why you would A, need one, or B, have it connected to the internet. But that's just an example of how bad IoT security is.
Well, Adam, somebody help me out here. There was some sort of Fitbit type situation when it was recording when you had sex and then kind of making it public.
Well, there was that. And then there was the vibrator that somebody actually hacked into. But if you think about it, so a digitally connected chastity belt means that whoever connected that would know what was going on.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds very kind of bad. The whole thing sounds really kind of like not this country, not this century.
It feels like, ew.
Or like, yeah. Yeah. Or how dare you, or unhand my private parts. But so listen, I have a question for you, Travis.
Sure.
What is a Raspberry?
Raspberry are these cool little computers where you can get it for $50 and have it like connect, for instance, to a water sensor to make sure that your plants are getting enough water. A lot of people use it to play really old school video games, for instance.
And hackers use them too, right?
Right.
Right. How do they use them?
Any number of ways. There's a few that you can plug in a couple of sensors that'll help you crack into, say, a password or bypass a security card swiper or anything like that. So they're extremely useful. I mean, they have multiple uses. And so in the case of car manufacturers, they thought, hey, it's nice and cheap to have a little microcomputer that you can use to help facilitate the charging of a car. Unfortunately, that means all the same security settings that can go from a smart coffee maker all the way down to the aforementioned chastity belts and the like.
So Travis, since you are a technology wizard, I've noticed also that they seem to be naming some of these devices after fruit, because isn't there the pineapple where you can plug that into a wall and it basically finds its way into networks?
Right. Yeah, I think Apple was the one that got the ball rolling there. And then afterwards, a lot of different groups and companies thought they could just piggyback on that branding.
I see.
Well, this gives me one more reason to unplug. And I'm not going to get one now. Thanks. You just ruined electric cars for me, Travis. Got anything else?
After chastity belts? No, I think I'm good.
All right. Well, now, since we're on the subject of cars, I just got a notification that I'm for sale on the dark web again.
Again?
I have no idea what my price is. I always get sad if I'm being sold for like $3. But
yeah,
I got notified by Audi, and they had a breach. And my information was out there, email address, cell phone number, all that good stuff that you want to sort of cringe and hide in a corner.
Well, you know, that reminds me of a very basic fact that you taught me years ago, which is that once got, always got. And when the Equifax breach happened ages ago, my social security number was in the wind. And it has been in the wind ever since. And every once in a while, I get a note from the dark web, you know, monitoring service that I subscribe to telling me that it's out there. I already know it's out there, but it's a good reminder that I have to behave as though it's out there every day of my life. It is a fact of my life now.
And the other night, I actually went outside and in neon, your social security number flew by my house. So,
well, but I, as I understand it, you paid someone to do that.
I did, in fact.
Yeah. So
but I thought it was very
count.
Special.
It, but it really doesn't count. But, okay.
But, you know, the important thing is you said this right. It's like that little bird flying around up there that keeps going, I have your social security number.
Is that bird? Yeah.
People have to understand that the only expiration date on your social security number is yours. And even then, there have been thousands of cases of people who have been victims of identity theft when they were no longer people. They were gone.
Or like me, you came back. But I got a new social security number when I came back.
Well, that's good, because almost no one else can get a new social security number.
Well, no, after I died and was reborn.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, no, I figured you didn't hear me there. But yeah. Anyway.
Living the dream.
Living the dream twice again.
Hi there. I'm Adam Levin, former director of the New Jersey Division of Consumer Affairs, founder of Cyber Scout, author of the book Swiped, How to Protect Yourself in a World Full of Scammers, Phishers, and Identity Thieves.
And I'm Bo Friedlander, cybermensch, writer, and all-around curious person who tries to hack hackers.
And I'm Travis Taylor, resident tech guy.
So what do we have today?
What we have today is very interesting, a woman who's a musician who had a very sort of scary but not uncommon situation. And so I think let's bring her on.
So here's the deal. I use Yahoo Finance. I use it to make money because it works, not just because they're a sponsor of the show. Heck, I've been using them for years before they ever called to become a sponsor. I do a lot of investing, and I need to make split-second financial decisions, and that's where Yahoo Finance comes in. I trade stocks, and I trade options, and you can't trade them in a vacuum. You've got to know what's going on. Yahoo Finance gives you the opportunity to look at the whole picture. I mean, breaking news, editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts. I love the customizable charts. They have it all. At Yahoo Finance, I'm part of a community of over 90 million users. You heard me. 90 million folks use Yahoo Finance because they're helping you on your way to financial success. Visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination. That's yahoofinance.com, yahoofinance.com.
I just got back from France, and there was a lot of stuff I couldn't stream because I was in the wrong region. But using NordVPN, I was able to stream everything.
I use NordVPN too, but it's more to protect my private data, like bank details, passwords, and online identity. There are a million trackers online that are just sort of watching you, and NordVPN is a great way to get around those.
NordVPN can switch your virtual location, allowing you to save money by purchasing flights, hotels, subscriptions from other countries at a cheaper price.
If you're traveling and you're using public Wi-Fi, NordVPN can protect you wherever you are.
It's not just that. NordVPN also comes with threat protection, which helps protect you from viruses, malware, and phishing sites.
NordVPN is the fastest VPN in the world, and it'll only set you back the price of a cup of coffee a month.
To get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/WTHack.
And hey, there's no risk. It's a 30-day money-back guarantee.
Check the link in the podcast description.
All right, here we go. I am coming on up. Coming up. Coming on up, coming up, coming up, coming on up. I am coming on up, coming up everything. That's how you know it's spring. How's that?
That is fantastic.
Our first guest spot on the show.
Amazing. That was great.
I couldn't think of a better introduction of a guest than our guest, Emily, playing some of the music that she makes. And so is this like your business?
Yeah, I've been so fortunate. I studied musical theater in college, and ever since then, from the people I've met and the skills I've acquired, I've done all kinds of music, from corporate music at theme parks, production shows and cruise ship bands and wedding bands here in Seattle. And then when I moved back about 5 years ago, I've been able to be completely employed playing music and performing for people. So
amazing.
No, that's fantastic. I love the wedding singer. So, hey, you know, I... A wedding
and
band.
He did not mean that about your music.
No. My favorite part of the wedding bands is always when they go, and now we're going to take a break so that you can eat the soup. But it's great to have you on our show. And so you have an international following, I understand?
Yeah. You know, I've been kind of a one-woman show as an independent artist. So I do... live looping and including like some of my beatboxing skills and my backup singer skills, where I can record my beatbox and my harmonies and kind of layer an arrangement in front of an audience. And that's kind of what my show consisted of. And I could mix it with like some of my favorite tunes and a lot of my original tunes and stories, and really create almost like a theatrical experience, but just kind of with me, like it's a cabaret or something.
Amazing.
That's awesome.
But speaking of international audience, when the world shut down last year, I had to really kind of rebuild what I was doing. And mostly that consisted of performing my show on Twitch, which is on the internet, and it does reach an international audience, and I can't believe it.
So do you have a big following on Twitch now?
It is my biggest following of all my social medias. And wow. So in 1 year, I have like 12,200 something followers. And
amazing.
That's great.
And it's
and
really...
How do we find you? You have a handle?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's twitch.tv/EmilyMcVicker, my name.
All right, cool.
And we'll make sure that we put all of this information in our show notes, because... why shouldn't you get an extra boost for all the stuff you're doing?
Oh, thanks, Adam.
And you sound great. I mean, you're totally awesome, and we love it. And basically, now that I understand that you can layer on the music, you know, we refer to Travis as the voice of God. So this means, can you create like the equivalent of a heavenly choir behind him? Because that would be pretty awesome when he speaks, you know?
We'll pay.
Well, hand her some money now.
Right, I wasn't fishing for that.
We'll pay for this.
But this is the sort of thing I do is I'll see a screen name like Travis Taylor, and I can be like, Travis Taylor. Travis Taylor. Travis Taylor.
Blushing.
Go on, Travis.
Yes, I'm indeed blushing.
You're awesome, Travis. Here we go.
This is What the Hack with Adam Levin.
Yeah.
Woo. Awesome.
First of all, Travis is now, you've made his day.
I've never seen this much color in his face, but I have a question now. So this actually is related to why you're on the show today, is it not?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm able to, I have such a wonderful setup here. Big thanks to Mr. Jeff Gall for helping me build it. And
Jeff Gall, if you don't know, is our sound engineer and sound engineer extraordinaire.
And we actually have a lot of gall every time he works with us. So we're feeling pretty good about that.
Well, and thanks to him, all I have to do is sit down and I can do really professional recordings right here from my living room. And so I get hired to do backup singing and sometimes jingles and sometimes what have you for my subscribers and my patrons. And so someone reached out to me on Instagram, and it was a screen name it was kind of similar to a screen name I recognized on Twitch. And their name was Barth. And I thought, oh, it's Barth from Twitch. And they asked if I could record a short song for their son's birthday. And so a song by commission, and I hadn't done it before, but you can see I can create songs pretty fast. I was like, sure, how about $100? Tell me about your son. They're like, great. Okay, my son is turning 5 and they have a dog and he likes Power Rangers and zombies and chocolate milk. And so I'm like taking notes. I was thinking like, okay, what would like really rock this kid's world on his birthday to hear all his interests and his name in one song. So I was going back and forth on what the song would be. And then the guy goes, oh, you know what? I really appreciate what you do. So I want to pay you $300. I was like, great. So this is also not unusual because on Twitch, I have some really, really generous patrons that support my music. I was like, great. I said, you can pay me Venmo and PayPal or PayPal. And I'll start recording as soon as I receive payment. And I learned that trick because I used to do also some portrait work where I had done some artwork for people that never got picked up. So that's my rule, is just that people have to pay me before I start.
Smart move.
Well, you learn from making mistakes, right?
Well, first of all, the name Barth, I suspect that was Darth as opposed to Barth because he certainly was acting.
First name was Barth?
B-A-R-T-H.
B-A-R-T-H?
There might have been some more letters, but sometimes on Twitch when I'm addressing people, I don't know how to pronounce these names, so I just like guess or shorten them.
So what happens? Where'd it go weird?
Well, what happened, they said, I have to pay you through a business account and we can't do third-party apps, so I'm just going to need your email and your full name. I was like, okay, well, that's going to delay the process, but my email and my full name are not really that private of information. It's on my website. It's on everywhere. And so I gave them those things and they're like, oops, my accountant accidentally wrote $3,000 instead of $300. But don't worry, LOL, I trust you to send back the $2,700 difference.
The web that has been woven.
That stinky little barf spider.
Yeah, barf spider. No, and I didn't actually notice anything weird until then because of all of the LOLs and stuff they seemed to be appealing
barf
to.
Barf spiders are like way into emojis. Everybody knows that about barf spiders.
Is that right? I didn't know until they sent me that questionable.
But Emily, my question, did this happen over a period of time? Did it happen within a day? Because it seems very fast to be, let's do this. My accountant wrote the note.
Yeah.
Was it all at once?
It might have been a couple of days. I'm not always the quickest at responding to messages.
Well, no, that sounds, you know, because they have to kind of play it out a little, you know.
Totally.
I always, when people send me thousands of dollars more than they're supposed to, I just keep it. I'm like, okay, cool. Thanks. Bye.
Well, Bo, I actually wanted to ask your opinion about that because...
You got to ask Adam, because I have no soul. I'll just take the money and run.
Well, no, because the truth of the matter is if you take it and deposit it, since it's most likely fraudulent, all that will happen is you'll deposit it and then you'll get a notification from your bank saying, oh, by the way, that which you deposited has not cleared.
But what about the tax burden too, no?
Well, if it doesn't clear, there's not a tax burden.
Right.
So,
but what if the $3,000 does hit her account? Did the $3,000 hit your account or not?
No, because it smelled fishy and I said, I think you should find somebody else. But I was really worried that if they could get into my bank account, they could get out. Cause I really don't understand how that stuff works.
Well, that's true. They'll find once you cash the check or they do whatever transfer they do, then in order to make a transfer, for instance, they would have to to know what your account details were. In this case, they were sending you a check.
But not on Venmo. That's not true. On Venmo, they don't have any access to your banking information. They just have your Venmo account, which is just your email address or your phone number.
But that's why no one...
you hit transfer and it goes in straight into your bank account. They'd have no way to immediately get in there, but they would have a way to dispute the charge.
Well, I think that's why they wouldn't use Venmo with me. They insisted on a check.
That's why they wanted the check. So I think that the other point here is, if it turned out to be a real check and the whole thing was a little weird, they could also have been luring you into a money laundering situation, which you never want to get in the middle of those either.
I'm obsessed with the tax thing. If they send her $3,000, right, Adam? And then they're like, wait, I need that $3,000 back. I'll send you a different $300. And you send them the $3,000 back. Where's the money laundering? I know it's there, but where is it?
Well, and generally,
is there a tax break thing?
Because what they'll do is they're trying to make it look like they're involved in a legitimate transaction. So they'll send you money and they may direct you to some other place they identify as themselves.
But it's not them?
And it's not them. They're moving the money someplace else.
And is it like to buy like a electronic scooter or something? Or
well, it'd be, you know, they could ask you to buy some. I mean, we've had frauds where people will ask people to buy things for them. And again, that's part of money laundering. You'll buy something that's valuable and then they'll turn around and sell it. And they've managed to launder the money too. So there's all kinds of different ways people launder money. It's kind of the flavor of the day as to which ones they want to do.
Can we workshop this? Can we see how could we, let's see, is there some way we could have scammed her scammer?
There actually is an account on Twitch called Kit Boga, who's known for finding ways to bait and scam people who do this sort of payment scams.
So how does it work, Travis?
I think they just kind of draw them out for a while and see how much information they can get from the scammer until so they just really turn the tables on them. Because one of the things is, especially with an Instagram scammer, it's something where they're pretty used to holding all the cards. So they can just say, well, I have all this information on this person. So they will probably get a little bit more cocky about providing their own information as it goes. And so in that case, sort of qualified reverse scammer, I guess, would be able to just accumulate enough information to
get
that rolling.
I think we should get into the reverse scam business.
It's kind of, you show me yours, and I'll show you mine.
Yeah, or just like, look, buddy, I will do the $3,000 thing you want to do, but give me $20 because I just need to see that you're for real. And then I just keep the $20 and tell them to screw off.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of having it be an Instagram scandal especially, like I've managed to make a lot of other content creator friends through my Twitch channel and through my Instagram. Uh-huh. And one issue was this particular guy that reached out, he had followers. And when I thought I was going to do a job for him, I followed him and like checked on it. Like he had pictures of him and his son and I hearted them. And so then afterwards, after I figured it was a scam and I hadn't heard from him, a friend in New Jersey was like, hey, this guy reached out to me and asked me to write him a song. I see that you follow him and I've hearted some of his photos. And I'm like, no, don't do it. It's a scam.
Same barf spider.
And at that time, I had received like 4 or 5 more almost identical scripts. And Bo, I tried to take a page out of your book. I was like, go ahead, send me the money. No, I don't know.
This spring, get out there, enjoy the weather, and recapture the magic of riding a bike with Electric e-bike.
With an amazing variety of models built for riders of all abilities, it's never been easier to fall in love with riding again. Plus, every Electric e-bike ships free and only requires quick, toolless assembly.
This is my first ever e-bike, and the experience has just been great. I was a little bit intimidated at first because I hadn't gone biking in a while, but the 500-watt motor that the Electric e-bike comes with really gives you a nice little boost, especially if you're trying to go uphill or pick up some speed.
Data shows that e-bike riders take their bike out more often. That means you get more exercise, more exploration, and wait for it, fresh air.
And riding an e-bike isn't like, it's not cheating. It's just making it possible for you to be out there longer on each ride. And speaking of things going a little slower, you can finance an Electric e-bike for as little as $49 a month.
Get into spring with Electric e-bikes, the number one selling e-bikes in the nation. Get your adventure started at electricebikes.com. And please mention that What the Heck with Adam Levin sent you in the post-checkout survey.
That's LECTRICEBikes.com.
So you're, you know, basically, so we can recap this for people too. So someone approached you for the purpose of writing a song for their child.
Yeah.
You gave them a price. They said they would pay you more. Then they said their accountant wrote the wrong number to the tune of 3,000 as opposed to 300 when you originally asked for 100. And then they said, do us a favor. Keep the 300, send us the 2,700 back.
Right. And I don't know why the accountant of their business is paying for presents for their child also.
Good point.
Well, good point. No, that's their, They were just taking a page out of a lot of politicians' playbook on their campaign financing.
Well, it could have been, you know, the Trump organization.
These days. But it's barf spider behavior. But the question is, I'll stop with the barf spider now. I will never mention it again. The question I have is, you know, what can I do when I'm overpaid, Adam? I mean, would you just, I mean, the only thing I can think of is I would hold, I'd stick to my own guns and say, you got to write me another check. I'm not going to do it. I'll send this check back to you. But I mean, what do you do?
You will know fairly quickly whether or not the payment was real, because it would bounce if it wasn't real. That's why.
What about just saying, send me another check? No?
Well, you could say that as well. In fact, that's probably the safest course, is to say, listen, I will shred your check and it just send me another check.
Yeah.
And
I was wondering if you deposited it, and between the time that you deposit and the time that it's going to bounce, what their tactics would be to even get desperate, or how they would try to, would they kidnap my cat?
Yeah. Or, no, I think they just really pressure you for the $2,700 before the check bounced.
Everything these scammers do is based on impulse, is based on doing something spontaneously, almost pressuring you to move really, really fast. I mean, that's
twitch.
How they.
Yeah. It's trying to get you to twitch.
That's it.
And so, you know, your job when somebody comes at you with either a text scam saying, like, you know, your bank account appears to be in the midst of a takeover, click this button. Click this link. Your job is to not click the link. Your job is to not cash the check. Your job is to not take the bait, because that's what it is. These are all different kinds of lures, and we're all, you know, and we're just dumb fish swimming around minding our own business. And then these expert anglers come at us.
And you know that, you know, under new laws, checks have to clear pretty quickly.
How fast?
And if they don't clear, you know, then you know you have a problem. So
how fast is that, Adam?
Well, it was originally supposed to be 24 hours. And many cases, it is 24 hours, depending upon what bank the check came from them versus your bank.
So anyone of us who's us on the What the Heck side of things, do we know what would have happened had she actually gone for this?
Yes, what probably would have happened, depending upon how they wanted you to return the money. You know, they might have said, you know, can you Zelle us the money back, or... you know, whatever. If you'd returned it, the check would have bounced, and then you would have been out the $2,700.
Any recourse, or that would be that?
Usually the banks say, we don't really know how to get it back for you.
There's a music blog that I follow where some other people were reporting this similar script and potential scam.
Right.
And the account that they interviewed specified that they sent the check and then asked them to, like, cash app the money back, even though they don't use third-party apps. It doesn't make any sense, but that they would get it and it would be for sure from them, you know?
Well, you know, one of the things we like to talk about in the show is that they're counting on the fact that you're so excited about getting their money that you're kind of distracted by the whole thing. You know, you say, I got paid, I've got a job to do, I'm going to do it. And if I'm returning the money, I'll return it as well. But because it's all about the fact that we all have day jobs. I mean, you're a writer, other people raising families, running businesses, being involved in philanthropic activities. But to the guys that are scamming you, you are their day job.
Right. And musicians are usually so excited. I mean, I'm so excited when someone writes to me, like, I love your music brought up my spirits. Like, if they could use me or hire me, like you sang at my wedding, you changed our year. I love hearing that.
But
so,
that's, they know that. Listen, right. That's the whole point, is that scammers, these scammers, if they weren't scammers, would have been great therapists, a lot of them. They know how to read people. They understand how you work basically emotionally. And if they know what matters to you, they know how to get you to do something.
And in particular, when you're dealing with creative people, they're not focused on the financial aspects of most things. Either they have people who do that for them, or they try to do it themselves, but you're busy creating. So they figure somewhere while you're creating, they're kind of stealing. Well, that's the pitch. That's why they go after creative people.
Adam, I'm so glad you brought that up, because, you know, most independent musicians I know do not have 27 extra $100 to be sending to people. Like, here, hold this for me.
Right.
No, it can be in financially life-threatening, depending upon what they want back. And if you comply with what they ask you to do, you could put yourself in a hole. And it's tragically unfair.
Super unfair, especially the way that musicians save their money in the form of instruments and equipment. I mean, it's kind of like you've just actually threatened their livelihood if they're going to deal with this problem.
Well, one of the other things, too, is that with Instagram, that's a great social media network for artists. They can show off their work. They can play their music on it and so on. But it's also incredibly easy to fake an identity on there. You can take someone else's pictures. You can put that up of yourself. You can make it look like you are a regular person and a fan of that music or a fan of that art. And the things that make that a great sort of forum for an artist to be able to show off their work is the same thing that makes it very easy to launch a scam.
And remember, these people, many of them, are creative, sophisticated, and persistent, which also is pretty much a definition of musician as well in the work you do and how you do it. So, first of all, we want to thank you for being on our show. We'd also like to remind people that they can find you on Twitch, correct?
Right, yeah.
Any other place that they can find you as well?
Yeah, basically, if you know my name, I'm on all the social medias, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and 3 times a week on Twitch.
And as Adam said, you can find all of this information and our website posts about the show, Emily McVicker, EmilyMcVicker. Emily McVicker.
And Emily, I know that Travis is very excited about the choir scenario that you created for him. And I'm sure that Bo will plead with you any minute to do the jingle for our show. So thank you so much for joining us. And
well, thanks so much for having me, you guys. It's really fun.
And send her real money, please.
Real money only.
Real money only.
And any scammers out there thinking of going after Emily, just beware, because she's going to keep the money this time.
Yeah.
Thanks, Emily.
Thank you guys so much.
You. Bye.
What the Hack is a Loudtree Media production in partnership with Large Media. That's L-A-R-J Media. You can find What the Hack wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to follow us on social media and find additional information at adamlevin.com.